on.
What is up? My name is Kevin Wu. I'm an online fitness coach and helps men in their 20s lose weight and get abs for the first time through mindset, nutrition, and training. That's enough about me. Let's get right into today's episode. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Live to Inspire podcast. Today, I jump on the Zoom call with my clients talking about a couple things, but you guys get to hear about them over here. We're talking about stretching and recovery, like how should you do it? What should you do? What are the benefits? Sodium, is it good, bad? What's too much? You might be surprised by this one. I personally was. Food protein versus protein drinks. So, you know, like those drinks you see at the local convenience store or something like that. Versus like a chicken breast. Like, what's the difference? What should you have? Also, meal prep options for a busy schedule. So I give you all these insights on this training. Listen up. All right. So first is stretching and recovery. So I feel like stretching is one of those things itself that people have like a very, not say bad misconception, but it's what we kind of taught when we're younger is not exactly what's best. So a lot of people think stretching before your workouts, statically like this, you're just holding it and then going to your workout. That's pretty much like how we did in school. If you guys probably remember teachers, everything that you always stretch, you know, before you do anything, just holding a spot is actually going to increase your chance of injury and also hinder your work performance. When we say hinder your work performance is, let's just say you could, I don't know, bench 135 pounds for like 10 reps or three sets. Maybe you're only gonna do like 135 pounds for like eight reps for like the three sets. So it hinders that performance in that kind of sense over there. Well, you can. Now, with that being said, dynamic stretching is something that you guys can implement in before your workouts, in which can help increase the blood flow, help you feel like less stiff in that sense, and possibly may improve performance wee bits. Now, what dynamic stretching is just going in and out of the movement. So let's just say I may have a wall over here, but if I was pretty much had my wall, also, someone's joining in, like a wall, pretends like a big wall right here. I'm going in, and like out of movement, stretch my chest, just like going back and forth. It's basically coming in and out of that motion. So you're not just holding it the whole time there. Then that could actually kind of benefit you in some ways. But now if you guys are just holding that thing for like 15 seconds, which is what most people think stretching is, then it's not the greatest. Now, one thing I do like to do for my hamstrings, in particular for dynamic stretching, is pretty much putting my like toe up, just kind of leaning back. I've been doing a little walk, coming in and out, getting deeper. Yes, so you guys probably can see a little bit like that on the visuals. But that personally is something I do when I do my hamstrings over there. And it can help in terms of just kind of like feeling a little more loose, getting those muscles kind of fired up over there. But more importantly than the actual stretching itself is because when we look at weightlifting, it's actually pretty much stretching. It's lifting a weight under resistance, which stretches the muscle, because your muscles, when they form an exercise, they get stretched under a load. And when we're doing any exercise, it's basically a loaded stretch. So we are pretty much stretching every time we do a muscle, like a workout. Like, for example, we're doing bicep curls, curling here, that's not a stretch. When we come down, we're technically stretching that muscle over there. When we're coming down and lowering that bicep curl. So it's more important is just warming up the muscle with the actual kind of exercise, right? So that's going to be much more important over there with like lighter weights. Like, let's just say like normally bicep curl like 30 pounds. First thing I do if I'm cold into my workout, haven't done that, is use like 40% of what I normally use. So maybe like, what is that, 12.5 pounds. And then jumping to like 60% of weight over there. Now, caveat to that one is most of you guys have a lot of workouts paired together, muscle groups paired together. So what I mean by that is like, let's say it's upper lower split. So maybe your biceps are at the very end of the workout. So you wouldn't really need to warm them up with warm-up sets because all your other exercises, like your pulling motions, when you do your pull-ups or like pull-downs or like bench press or something like that, you used a lot of your biceps and your triceps. And that means your muscle biceps and triceps are very, very warm. So you don't need to do that. But first thing in the workouts, I know a lot of people, I don't want to ask the question later, what muscle groups you guys want to focus on the most. You guys, most people say like chest or something like that. Whatever you guys put down, you usually have that first thing in the workout because of the most amount of energy and we're able to push the most amount of weight. So you definitely want to warm up in the first thing, right? So using like 40% of your working weights, then like 60%, I think you go into like your first working set over there. And that's going to help with more of that actual warm side. in terms of stretching side of things, you just might be able to improve flexibility for the person who requested this topic. In terms of recovery wise, stretching can potentially help recovery a wee bit. Just if you guys, let's say, do your stretching after your workouts, like completely after you've done your whole workout itself, then you do some side stretching, potentially, some studies show help with a tiny bit over there, but more importantly, it's going to be your sleep. Also, pretty much like what you eat and consume over that side and your stress level, that's going to help way, way more for your actual recovery side of things. In terms of recovery, obviously, there's a lot of things you can do. There's like, you know, ice baths, everything that people are kind of looking at right now. And there's a lot of like, I would say, controversial opinions of like how much it actually does or if it really does, or like sauna can help a little bit. That one's shown a bit. I personally can't stand a sauna. Like once I'm in there, I have a hard time breathing a sauna or steam rooms. I personally can't. But I know the hot and cold can help with recovering that aspect. And just like getting some massages kind of here and there can help. I personally don't do that. I probably got like 2 massages in my life. But just some small little things can help out just a wee bit. But 95%, I would say, is going to be from your sleep. Also, making sure you get or sleep, getting good quality sleep, not just sleeping at 12 a.m., waking 8 a.m., sleeping throughout the night, not waking up like 10 times or 5 times, just sleeping throughout the whole night over there, because that's going to play a big part. 2 is going to be adequate nutrition, especially getting enough protein. And if you guys are in a severe calorie deficit, you guys are probably hindering your recovery just a little bit more because you're not going to be filling your body as much fuel over there. That's a little caveat note. You may have to reduce your overall training volume to make sure you can recover from what you're doing. Now, with that being said, when I do bodybuilding competitions, I know recovery is absolute shit. That's why I'm tired all the time. More towards like 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out. And that's to be expected though, because I'm just stressing my body so much and at points where I'm like, you know, just it's not healthy at all. I'm doing that certain look a certain way on a certain date. But yeah, so definitely not be very recovered, especially then. This is also why when I personally do bodybuilding preps and stuff like that, my last there's like 2 weeks itself, I tapered down the volume, and especially last week, I actually pretty much like work out like very only full body workouts, and it's only like one set for like each body part, because whole point is to have muscle fully recovered in that standpoint, and just to have it, because when your muscle is more fully recovered too, it looks bigger and more full. But that's more of an aesthetic point in looking a certain way in a certain date. So it's pretty cool. But that being said, hopefully it covers the stretching and recovery a little bit there. All right, let's talk about sodium, because I know there's a lot of, does anyone have questions on that one, just drop it down the chat, by the way. I'm going to pull up the chat box for that. All right, next one is sodium. Sodium is something that I personally fell into, I wouldn't say the trap of, but I really believed in this really, really hard, where I thought, you know, sodium was really bad for you, you shouldn't have it. So when I personally started working out and did meal prep, because I started meal prepping, cooking everything on my own, that's when I was 16, I bought everything, Kirko Cremone, and I ate the worst foods in terms of like tasting wise, because I had no seasonings whatsoever, no salt, no pepper on my chicken or any foods, period, no sauces. So imagine just a plain, like I would just grab the chicken breast, throw it in the oven, no seasonings, no salt, no pepper, no sauce, anything. And I'll just eat it like that, right? And it was from frozen. I always go from frozen straight to the baked. And yeah, I don't really know how I got through that. Well, now I know actually, but like it was straight willpower. It would take me like 30 minutes to eat every single meal because I thought sodium was bad for you. And that's what I was told. And like, that was like, you know, very common misconception over there, but it's actually good for you, especially if you guys work out. So you guys are going to need that sodium to boost your work performance because we're sweating more, we're more active. Now, the actual sodium intake depends on a couple of factors like your age, your gender, your activity level, and overall health status. When I say overall health status, you know, if you have high blood pressure, you know, you might have to monitor your sodium intake a little bit more, right? So with that being said, a general guideline that the pretty much like the I think not the FDA, but the government kind of has is no more than like 23 milligrams per day. But in performance standpoint and people who do workouts, which is pretty much you guys, if you're fairly active, 26, 45 milligrams to 49, 45 milligrams per day is pretty much a good kind of range over there. Now, some people might even need even more. Like, for example, marathon runners, people who run long distances, they would need more because they're sweating so much. And if they don't get that much or they don't, you know, adequately feel themselves, you're going to get cramps, right? If you guys ever got cramps before, right? It's probably due to sodium and also potassium, right? Both two over there are big factors into cramping. So having enough sodium is going to make sure you guys are performing better too as well, because how sodium ties into it is going to be hydration, right? So sodium helps with regulating fluid balance, and your muscles are mostly made of water, right? I think it was like 73% water. So if you guys aren't able to really regulate that fluid balance or that water intake through your muscles, or deliver that, you know, water to that muscle, or have it properly actually going through your body, you're not going to be able to, A, get a pump, right? If you guys have a hard time getting a pump, try some sodium before your workout. And I actually do recommend sodium before your workout, salting things. And also like nerve function, so that's going to play a part in muscle contraction again over there. And yeah, so these are all important for physical performance. And how does physical performance tie into you getting your dream body, or let's just say losing fat? Well, if you guys, let's just say, are trying to get, I'm going to use my statue once again, my trophy, but like this, you guys need that muscle, right? And muscle is developed through, you know, pretty much increasing resistance, like progressive overload, more weights, more reps over there. And that's what's going to help you do, right? Improve that physical performance. So hope you guys know how it ties in. If you guys are looking to lose the fat over there, right? You guys want to be able to keep your muscle. So what does that have to do? Well, if you guys are not able to lift a lot of weight itself because your workouts are shit, then you're going to lose that muscle, especially when you're in deficit over there, because your muscles, if you don't use them to like the best ability, and what I mean that is, if you're not lifting heavy weights, you guys, your muscles are like, hey, well, this is very energy demanding, so why should I stay, right? It's kind of that idea over there. If, you know, big jack guy's only lifting 5-pound dumbbells, your muscles are like, what the hell? Like, why do I need all this muscle over here? Was, you know, I'm going to take away from that instead of my fat. Well, it's probably a combination of both, right? And you guys are going to lose a lot of muscle, which is going to lose that shape, because muscles give you that shape. All right. So with that being said, I have a comment over here. What electrolyte do you recommend? I drink liquid, drink IV sometimes. I personally don't use electrolytes over there. Pretty much sodium is an electrolyte in that sense, especially like Himalayan pink salt. So you guys could use that instead on that aspect. I know electrolytes are very popular in the marketing kind of standpoint, especially more towards people who are like endurance athletes, and that is something that I could recommend for more of like endurance kind of athletes over there. But if you guys are just weight training, especially in the gym, which all you guys over here, for your goals, setting some salt before your workout, it's going to do justice, right? So now, how much salt should you add before your workout over there? I personally use like a quarter of a teaspoon. Quarter of a tablespoon would be a lot. Yeah, but quarter of a teaspoon over there. Now, I actually don't measure it. I just kind of like eyeball and I add it into my oatmeal or whatever meal I'm having. I basically just kind of like add more salt than I would normally from other meals, because I personally add salt to like all my kind of meals over there. Because you guys are eating clean. Like what I'm eating clean is, you know, like chicken, I don't know, ground turkey, ground beef, something that is generally, you're not going to have much sodium in your diet in general. If you guys are eating, you know, like organic one ingredient foods like potatoes and stuff like that, all the foods are in packages, like you see on the shelves, they're filled with a lot more sodium, right? So if you guys are going down that route or having more, let's say, protein wraps or stuff that really tastes good, or going to restaurants that already have a lot of sodium, so you don't really need to add more, right? But all the other foods over there, chances are probably adding some sodium, some salt is going to help you out. So hopefully that doesn't make sense over there. Himalayan pink salt is the one to recommend, because it does have some other trace minerals too, like a lot of magnesium, and some other things that other salts don't have, right? All right, it is a little more expensive though, but like it's nothing. Pretty much like you get, I mean, if you go to Costco or like make one, it was like what, two, I don't know, 2 pounds or something like that. It's $15, and that lasts like a year and a half or something like that. So it's nothing, right? But compared to other ones, maybe it costs a little bit more, but it's literally nothing at the end of the day. All right, so hopefully that answers some questions about sodium. If you guys have any questions on that, drop it in the chat box. Also, yes, you're welcome, David. Next one is food protein versus protein drinks. This is something that I see a lot of clients in the past, well, sometimes kind of abuse. One of my abuse is, I remember I had one client, like I think like all he had for protein was protein shakes. Like this guy had like 8 scoops of protein per day, started off at first, and like that was definitely not what I tried on his meal plan. But like, that's what he just kind of chose to do, because he was like, oh, I just set my protein goal. So this dude had like 8 scoops of protein per day. And I was looking at the thing. I'm like, no, like, stop. Like, maybe it wasn't 8 scoops. It was like five SKUs of protein powder, and then like three protein bars. So like basically, but protein bars are basically derived from protein powder. So it's, I consider like eight scoops over there, or like, you know, eight things that are not actually protein foods or food proteins. So I'm like, what are you doing, right? I'm like, we need to cut the shit. No. Now, the reason why it's not going to be as great, I'm going to kind of explain to you what we don't want to abuse them in that kind of sense is, well, one, protein drinks themselves or food protein is always derived based from high concentration protein like whey, casein, soy, or pea. Basically, protein powders, right? Not actually your chicken you're going to see in a chicken farm. They're not derived from that one. Otherwise, it probably tastes funky. But basically, food protein versus protein drinks. Nutrient density. This is a big one, right? Whole foods, like your chicken breast, your ground turkey, your ground beef, generally have more nutrient-dense like stuff in terms of minerals, vitamins, and other beneficial compounds that are not found in protein supplements, right? This is why it's called a supplement. Like, you know, protein powders, they're called supplements for a reason, right? What we don't get for a diet, you could supplement with, right? Your food protein should be the bulk of your actual diet itself. So that's what really supplement with the protein powders. Yes, Ralph's amazing. Yes, I'm sponsored. Yes, I got like 30 bags of protein sitting at home. That's why I have like 30 bags, because I keep accumulating. Because I get monthly orders, because I don't just rely on that one. Otherwise, if I did, I wouldn't get any chicken breast or anything like that. Then I literally save a lot of money. But like, no, it's a supplement, right? So fiber content, whole food source protein, such as legumes, seeds, or nuts. They can have some fiber too as well, which is good for digestive health. Now, most of you guys, when you think about protein, yes, we're not really looking at that stuff, but this is kind of one note I want to tackle on. Now, one big thing about protein foods, though, is feeling full and satiated, right? So, what am I satiated is if you eat like 3 pounds of lettuce versus like 1 tablespoon of almond butter or peanut butter, they have the same amount of calories. One of them is going to make you feel full. You know, 3 pounds of lettuce, you probably couldn't eat 3 pounds of lettuce for most of you. I'd like to see dry. Or that 1 tablespoon of almond butter, which is, you're going to feel like hungry right away, right? So the point is, if you guys are dieting down, eating that food protein is going to make you feel more full. So chances are you're not going to want to overeat, especially in the evening. I know a lot of people have those urges to like binge or get more cravings in the evening. So having actual food protein can be more beneficial in the evening side of things because of that process of, you know, if you feel more full, well, you're probably not going to be thinking about food and want to kind of eat over there. Now, something I personally do on my cuts and sells, like when, I remember last one, my previous one before, because I was like 4,000 calories on my bulk prior to my cut for my show. And then I got down to like 1,700 calories. Was like a video on this one, but I cut out all my food protein. My protein powders and supplements and like my protein bars, protein powders, food drinks, everything like that, because I was getting a lot more hungrier, right? So I made sure to only eat food protein, like, you know, eggs, egg whites, ground turkey, and that stuff, so I could feel more full. But even then, obviously, I was still very hungry. But if I used a lot more protein powders and such, I'd be more miserable. So that's how much it could help you out in that sense. And hopefully it does help out, because pretty much a lot of the protein powders also, well, one, they're really easy to just get down, right? You just chug it just like that, like 5 seconds versus like a chicken breast. You have to chew it up, or a steak. This also, side note, if you guys also feel more hungry all the time, having foods like steak, like I round steak versus like a ground beef, they're both beef, can help you feel more full and help you stay on your cut a little bit better too as well. Because if you have a steak, well, that chewing in your mouth, how long it takes to chew, maybe if a well-done steak too as well, how long it takes to chew, is going to signal to your brain that satiation of feeling more full versus a ground beef, which is already pre-digested. Also, it takes less chewing. It's not going to make you feel as more full. So that's why I use ground beef, especially with people who want to pack on size or looking to eat more calories. And generally for people who are trying to lose more weight, I usually have like a top sirloin, flank steak, or I have round steak. Those are small little things that can help out. All right. Now, with that being said, let's go on to the next one. Digestibility. Yes. So protein makes a lot easier to digest, like I just mentioned over here, and way faster, which can also be more beneficial for like a post-workout or a pre-workout, because let's say if you eat an hour before your workout and you have like a pre-workout or like a protein drink, it could be digested a lot faster and then you wouldn't be sitting in your stomach. So this is why also you wouldn't want to eat like a steak or something like that an hour before your workout, because it's still going to be digesting and when you digest food, it takes energy to digest food, and that's going to take away from the workout. Hopefully that makes sense. That's why we want something more fast digesting before your workouts. And that's why we look on your meal plan. Usually you have like a timing of when you eat that, like, you know, like an hour before or like an hour and a half. It depends on like what meal you do have or when you can actually eat that. All right. Lastly, protein drinks can be more expensive than whole food kind of source of protein, depending on the drinks. Now, what I mean by this is like your ready to drink ones. Like usually it's like, like Premier Plus or what, Fairlife, something like that. They could be a lot more expensive than just your food source of protein. But protein powders are actually, when compared to cost, I was looking at this like YouTube videos and like cost protein, they're actually one of like the cheapest one in terms of protein per grams. So that's where protein powders are amazing too on that sense, right? But again, don't want to abuse that. But ready if you drink ones, like if you go to like, I don't know, the 7-Eleven, your gas station, get one of those ones, definitely a lot higher costs for what you kind of get over there. Now, hopefully that covers everything about food protein versus protein drinks. Because I'm going to move on to the next one, which is meal prep options, especially for a busy schedule. So meal prep options is something that I wish I kind of knew before, because one, I was really, really busy all the time. I worked 5 jobs at once. And one key thing I do want to note is meal prep. Meal prep is going to be the absolute key over every one of these kind of meal prep options. What meal prep is you cook all your meats in bulk. Like cook all your meats in bulk. Cook like some of your carbs in bulk, because you wouldn't really probably cook your oatmeal in bulk, which you could cook oatmeal in bulk, but like it doesn't take very long to make oatmeal. Pop in the microwave for like 90 seconds. But like rice, you know, rice might take like, I don't know, half an hour to make, so you can meal prep that. Potatoes might take like 40 minutes in the air fryer. That's all it takes mine itself to make, which I don't want to, you know, pop in 40 minutes every single time. I'm about to eat potatoes. It takes forever. So I'm going to cook those in bulk. Chicken takes forever to make, right? So those things that do take longer to make, like your chicken, your meats, your potatoes, your rice, you can meal prep those, or your vegetables even too as well, right? So that's what I personally tend to do. And that's going to make sure you have those in your fridge and you can do whatever with them, right? You can make some combos. You know, you want ground turkey and sweet potatoes? Yeah. You want rice and sweet potatoes? Yeah. Right. So that makes it easier over there. Now, I want to talk about some actual kind of foods over there. It's going to be, let's see. Oh, masseuse bidet machine. I don't even know if I pronounced that. I know.
It's French.
Yeah, that is. Okay, I remember that now. I remember some of my clients had that when I was working in-person training. They'd say sous vide. It sounded really, really fancy. All right. So they say it was amazing. I know. It's like a slow cooker almost, I believe, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's the vacuum seal, but then water.
Yeah, I see that once or twice. It looked cool. I might try that one. So, I heard sous vide steaks. I'm butchering them again. It's pretty good.
All right, I love steaks. Great.
All right, there you go. All right, so overnight oats. Overnight oats is a cool one that you can easily make if you guys don't want to go the route of warming up the microwave. I personally like having hot oats. It's something about not like barley, but I make them and then I let them cool. So it's not cold. I don't like cold oats or like the overnight texture. I don't know, just like, I don't know, just not for me. But I just like microwaving my oats, letting the counter and sit. That's my personal texture on oats. All right, besides that, overnight oats is a great meal prep option, right? Like if you wrap like a mason jar, throw in the oats, throw in some Greek yogurt, almond milk, chia seeds, protein powder, fruit, something like that. So let it in the fridge overnight. In the morning, you have something great, right? If you have a couple mason jars, you could meal prep that for like next, I don't know, 4 days or something like that, which typically don't go bad, really. So, with that being said, it's a great option. Overnight oats, meal prep that one a couple of days, have in the fridge. Mason jar salads, you could even do that one, or just put like a salad, I don't know, like a meal container, make salads over there. Just layer your vegetables, something like that, put in your dressings, little kind of dressings, and have like a chicken breast, your ground turkey mix all in there, meal prep that. Sheet pan dinners, right? So sheet pan dinners, you could literally just have a sheet to kind of like protein itself, also some herbs and vegetables, rice, or even like a shepherd's pie, what I call like a sheet pan dinner. Shepherd's pie itself, I think I made this a couple times before, is like just like mashed, kind of like potatoes, some spices, had a little ground turkey, baked it itself. Then I kind of threw on like mashed potatoes that I mashed up on top of like ground turkey with some vegetables. So it was like some carrots and green beans, like the little ones from frozen, and it tasted pretty great. And you just meal prep that for the week. Slow cooker meals. right? Slow cooker sounds like a sous vide, I guess, before I found out. If you don't have time to cook over there, you just pop it in there. You don't have to watch it. It just cooks by itself over there, like beef, pork, vegetables, whatever the fuck you want. And you just let it cook all day and just kind of have it waiting for you when you do come home. And also when you, you know, want to meal prep things over there. Now, protein packed snacks like hard boiled eggs, so that's something you could meal prep busy over there. I like cook them in bulk over there, have them in the fridge. Greek yogurt or the fruit, like protein powder, you could throw that in the fridge over there, already kind of have. I don't know if you want to do a mason jar again, or if you want to do like a little bowl, pop it in there. Or protein bars, or even protein pancakes. You can make protein pancakes. I personally did that for a little time in my life. Protein pancakes, I really love them. And then I stopped doing that one, and I just had made them fresh every time. I was like, you know, I'll wake up earlier. But you can, you know, prep protein pancakes or even protein French toast, right? If you guys want the protein pancake recipe or protein French toast recipe, just shoot me a message on Trainerized. I'll drop it for you itself. Now, with that being said, hopefully that gives a little more ideas of what you can do for like meal prep options. The most important thing is going to be meal prepping like your bulk foods, like the things that really take a long time, like, you know, your vegetables, your meats, your proteins, your carbs. All right. Legion birthday cake protein gives me so much gas that you shouldn't get a lot of gas from that one. I know it's pretty much, what is it? It's sweetened with stevia, so it's usually easier on the gut. But two, it's actually lactose-free too. So maybe it's another kind of ingredient in that one itself, because I know it's, I don't know, you might have to look at the ingredient kind of list and kind of figure that one out. But that's strange though. But it tastes really good. I love the bleached birthday cake. All right, protein French toast is amazing. Yes, Joshua. Yes, it's absolutely amazing. All right, so that is it for these topics over here.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Live to Inspire podcast, the number one podcast for men in their 20s trying to lose weight and get abs for the first time. My mission is to inspire others to be the best version of themselves through fitness. So if you guys are tuning into this episode and want to lose weight and get your abs showing for the very first time, then DM me the words abs on Instagram at KevinWu_. That is KevinWu_. And we'll have a chat whether or not I can help you out lose that weight to get your abs showing for the first time. That is the ending of today's episode of the Live to Inspire podcast. If you learned something today, then make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. Also, if you leave a written review on this podcast, that'd be greatly appreciated because that pushes this podcast to more people just like you.